And Joshua follows which book? Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy ends with the death of Moses. Where did Moses die? Which mountain? Nebo, yes. And there was a confrontation there after Moses died. Anybody remember that? What happened there? Who did? The devil wanted, there was a contention between Michael the archangel and the devil, and they disputed about the body of Moses. Now exactly what that was about, who can tell? So Moses, he called Joshua the son of Nun. Moses' assistant. The Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan," because the Israelites were camped east of the Jordan, have yet to cross over into the promised land. "And you and all this people," many people, "to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you." Now there is an account of people. These are like petroglyphs in the desert surrounding. There were these prints like this, inscribed in rocks. And they're still there to this day, which has to do with this here, account of the words which the Lord spoke. "Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river is Euphrates." So our objective this morning is not so much to learn, to trace the movements of the Israelites, but learn of Joshua, who was of the tribe of Ephraim. Okay. We have accounts of Joshua in Exodus, in Numbers, in the New Testament, in Hebrews, and Acts 7:45. Why all the killing? This is about, we're talking about warfare, a great warrior. Why all the killing? It was to rid the land of paganism. See, they weren't like our present governor concerning the Syrians coming into this state. "We will embrace them with open arms." This is what our governor said about the Syrians. "With the coming of Muslims come their teachings, that which is against Christianity." It's not so much that we're cold-hearted or uncold-hearted about the people themselves. It's what they bring with them. Joshua was one of how many spies sent? Yes, 12. And everyone remember that account? He and Caleb were of a different spirit. They were saying, we're as grasshoppers before these giants. There's no way that we're going to be able to defeat these people. The Anakim. If you've seen, we'll cover some of this. There's a giant. There were giants in the land, and they were very, very tall, big people. But they knew, Joshua and Caleb, that the Lord was with them. With the Lord, there's nothing impossible. The account in Joshua 1 of the Lord speaking to Joshua. The Lord is with us. Who wants to read the first chapter there? How about the 9th verse? Joshua 1 through 9. Let's hear the account of what the Lord said to Joshua. So, nicely read. There we have the Lord's admonition to Joshua to be strong and very courageous. What's it mean to be strong? You go unaffected by all the adversary that comes your way, which includes false teachings, falseness, anything against the way you oppose and have no problem with it. And we have so much Bible error before us that we have to deal with, including those I won't say too much about that. I was going to speak of certain people, but it's really not necessary. So we have Joshua here, a very faithful aide to Moses, and now he's going to be faithful to his God and lead the people. We have three main characters here. The Lord, Joshua, and collectively the Israelites. Joshua. It's really excellent to go back and read the Old Testament. You can always glean something good from it. Deuteronomy 23:9. So Joshua was born in Egypt, probably near the city of Goshen. Not this Goshen, no. This Goshen was weeds and, it wasn't existing at all, of course. In fact, where we are right now wasn't existent back then. This was all just barren terrain. This town we call Eugene, 33:9. And go ahead, if you got anything to say about Joshua or about this account of the Israelites, go right ahead and interject with anything you'd like to say. When the army goes out against your enemies, then keep yourself from every wicked thing. If there is any man among you who becomes... unclean by some occurrence in the night, then he shall go outside the camp. This is not... 33. Let's talk about Joshua. Who says of his father and mother, Joshua is full of wisdom. Why was Joshua full of wisdom? Because Moses had laid hands on him. Today, how do we get wisdom? That's right. From the Word. And we ask of God, who gives to all men generously. Is anyone among you lacking wisdom? Let him ask of God, who gives to all generously. And the Lord will give wisdom to those who ask Him, according to James. There's so much more that can be read. Chapter 4 of Deuteronomy. Joshua. Let's read some of that. Joshua took up 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord had spoken to Joshua. So why did Joshua take up the 12 stones from the Jordan? Because the Lord had told him to. So here we have an example of direct obedience. 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. And they carried them over with them to the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood. And they are there to this day. No doubt they've been searched for. Drop the stones, Dr. Jones. They will be found. You won't. So we, this was for the, during the crossing of the Jordan. And what does the Jordan crossing resemble? Yes, the crossing of the Red Sea. So the crossing of the Jordan was truly a miraculous account in itself, of course. Because again, the people crossed over the Jordan, dry land, to the other side. The priest who bore the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak to the Lord. Again, Joshua, obedient to the Lord. When they crossed over the Jordan, did they take their time? Yes, it said they hurried and crossed over. Then it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over, that the ark of the Lord and the priest crossed over in the presence of the people. About 40,000 prepared for war crossed over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. What happened on this day? The Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel. And they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. Now, as Dinah read, isn't that kind of cheating when you know that no one is going to be a problem to you all the days of your life? The Lord is telling Joshua, you're not going to have any problem. How anybody exists in these battles is really beyond me. How they survived, that is. Because you're doing what you need to do in battle, and can somebody come behind you and jab you or an arrow or a spear? That's not going to happen with Joshua. Isn't it cheating? No. Because Joshua had to accept what the Lord told him by faith. And as we have the account in Hebrews of all that was done by those who had faith. So we have an account here of Joshua accepting what the Lord told him by faith. The account of Jericho. Now, we know that the people marched around Jericho and they were not to say anything at all. Wouldn't that be a harrowing experience? That these people that marched, they already knew about the Israelites and their hearts melted within them. Oh, we're going to die. And because the Lord was with the Israelites, and wherever they went, they defeated their adversary, usually. We know about the sin of Achan, and that the children of Israel were actually defeated because of what Achan did. So, before we talk about the fall of Jericho, we read about the circumcision and Passover at Gilgal, because circumcision wasn't practiced. So Joshua had them circumcised. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, "Make flint knives for yourself and circumcise the sons of Israel," again, a second time. So Joshua, here it is again, the Lord told him to, so he did. So Joshua made flint knives for himself and circumcised the sons of Israel at a hill. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them, all the people who came out of Egypt, who were males, all the men of war had died in the wilderness on the way after they had come out of Egypt, just as the Lord said they would. They were all going to perish, except for two. And why were these two saved? Because of faith. Because they opposed that which was against Yahuwah. For all for the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people who were men of war who came out of Egypt were consumed because they did not obey the voice of the Lord. We have the voice of the Lord before us in written form, or, well, it's written, it's understood. It is still holy regardless of what form it is, whether in a book form or everybody has one of these, whether it's read from this or in book form, it is still holy. Let's go to the fall of Jericho. It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. I was going to bring a sword. But it might not go over too well because of frailties, maybe. What did Joshua ask him? Are you for us or for our adversaries? Somebody want to read Joshua 5, 14 through 15? 14 and 15? Joshua 5, 14 and 15. Go ahead. Lee?
Verse 14. Thus the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did so for 6 days. Then it came about on the seventh day that they rose early at the dawning of the day and marched around the city
Joshua 5. That was good too. How about Joshua 5, 14 and 15? I may have got that wrong. Go ahead, read that if you will.
14 and 15 of chapter 5.
Yes.
And he said, no, rather I indeed come now as captain on the host of the Lord. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down and said to him, what has my Lord to say to his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so.
Where else do we hear this? Remove the sandals from your feet. Yes. Now, maybe he said, don't take your shoes off in the assembly, at the assembly. It's disrespectful. Well, isn't that kind of backwards? Take your feet off because the place where you stand is holy. Did you have something to say, Ted? Or was that for reading? Okay. So who was this commander of the Lord?
Well,
angels never accepted worship.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or I was thinking of the who was the person who told him where he had come from.
Oh Lord, we know you traveled the road to Jericho.
This would have to be the Lord, the commander of the Lord's army. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Appeared in a different form to the two who were on the road to Emmaus. What do we know about Jericho itself? Now, if you've seen pictures, there's some places that show that the wall was preserved in some place. We know about Rahab, Rahab. Why was she saved, and her family, and all her kin? Why were they saved and everyone else destroyed?
She had hidden bodies.
Uh-huh.
And she was supposed to put a sign so that they would know which one was her house.
The scarlet? Yet, what about her profession? That's pretty low, isn't it? Sinful? Evil? Yet she took the spies and hid them. And she lied about their whereabouts, didn't she? Isn't lying wrong? Evidently not always. All liars have their place in the lake of fire, the Lord says. But in this instance, it was okay. We know the lying is not good. You ever watch the Andy Griffith Show? All kinds of lies. I'm sorry, but he's not here, Aunt Bea says on the phone. And Annie's right here. In the kitchen. That was, the show has got many such instances of where the full truth is not spoken, yet it is still a good show. I watch it a lot. It's very entertaining. Joshua had a huge responsibility assigned to him. And when the people marched, as we read, around the city, they had said nothing. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horn before the Ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, proceed and march around the city and let him who is armed advance before the Ark of the Lord. So it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpet, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests and blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the Ark, while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout. Then you shall shout. So he had the Ark of the the Lord circled the city, going around it once. Then came into the camp and watched the camp. Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. Then seven priests, bearing seven trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord, went on continually and blew the trumpets, and the armed men went before them to the rear guard. Came after the ark of the Lord, while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. More explanation. And here's what Joshua then said to the people after they were obedient to the Lord in succumbing this city of Jericho. Shout! For the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Why? Because of paganism. The Lord is ridding the land of paganism. And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things. And make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold, the vessels of bronze and iron, are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. That must have terrorized the people of Judah. Their heart was already melted, as was mentioned. Their heart failed within him. And all the optimism in the world wouldn't have done them any good in this instance, because they were had. This was the people of God who were coming for them. Then the people went up to their city, every man straight before him, as they were told to go straight before them. And they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said to the two men who had spied out country. Who were these two men? The ones who were held by Rahab. And from there, bring out the woman and all she has, as you swore to her. And the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought out all her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. But they burned the city and all that was in it with fire. Only the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. Who spared Rahab? Joshua. Her father's household was also spared, and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day. Here's an example of to this day as not applying to this day. Otherwise, we would have Rahab in Israel right now. Quite aging. But still living up. Because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Then Joshua charged them at this time. Because why? Because Joshua, well, was very strong, bold, courageous. He said, cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and builds this city Jericho. He shall lay its foundation with its firstborn and all his youngest. He shall set up its gates. So the Lord was with Joshua. Be with me, Lord. I cannot live without you. You know, a church member, by the way,
town of Lebanon, he said he can't stand when people say, be with me. Because the Lord has already said that he was going to be with his people, even until the end of the age. Well, that's kind of being too nitpicky. For the Lord to be with us, we want that. And Joshua's fame spread throughout all the country. What likeness do we have to this conquest? We have Joshua, Savior, overtaking the adversary, as we have Jesus, Savior, overtaking the adversary, Satan. And conquering the land in order to gain the promised land. So we have the promise before us to gain the promised land. And what is that promised land? It's heaven. And Christians do obtain that inheritance. An imperishable inheritance, far beyond belief. Well, it's very, very viable that heaven is, and the Lord does give access to this heavenly abode to those who believe in him. And those who believe on him, believing on him is being obedient to the Lord. I listen to the radio every weekday. These preachers who are very fervent in their speech, and they're speaking great encouragement, great words of hope, and they read from the book of the Lord, the Word of God, and it sounds inspiring and great. And then at the end of the message, that's all. We read about, I mean, what is said is they say the prayer, they go to the new converts' classes, and they're saved. There's more to salvation than that. Those who believe and are baptized will be saved. There's a contention about baptism. Why? We read it right before us. Well, we're the legalist people. No, we're just the obedient. Because we read it. Obviously, there's a reason for baptism. And what we read in the Word is that it's for the washing away of sins. Joshua was obedient to the Lord in every way, except when the Gibeonites deceived Joshua. He did not seek the Lord, so they weren't supposed to make a treaty with any people, but he did. And so the Gibeonites were spared. Why did the children of Israel lose a battle? Because they committed a trespass regarding the cursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, took of the accursed thing. So the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. About 3,000 men went up there from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them
from before the gate as far as Shechem, and struck them down on the descent. Therefore the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Well, what happened to the Lord? Why didn't he preserve us? Why did we lose this battle? What did Joshua do? He tore his clothes, fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening. He and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, Lord God, why have you brought us to this people over the Jordan at all to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Oh, that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan." So it was pretty good on the east side of Jordan. "Oh Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear it and surround us and cut off our name from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name?" And what did the Lord say to Joshua? Joshua 7:10. Who wants to read that? Anybody want to read that? Joshua 7:10-13. The Lord's reply to Joshua.
"So the Lord said to Joshua, rise up. Why is it that you have fallen on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I have commanded them. And they have even taken some of the things under the ban, which have both stolen and seized. Moreover, they have also put them among their own things. Therefore, the sons of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemies, for they have become accursed. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy the things under the ban from among your men. Rise up, consecrate the people, and they consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow, says the Lord, the God of Israel, has said, there are things under the ban in your men. O Israel, you cannot stand before your enemies until you have removed the things under the ban from your men."
Like today, obedience is required of us. Achan was not obedient. So the Lord said he was not going to be with them unless something is done about this. Real quick, like, let's go to the battle. Let's go to Gilgal. He and all the people of war with him. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear them, for I have delivered them into your hand. Not a man of them shall stand before you." Again, is this cheating? No. By faith, Joshua accepted what the Lord told him. They were going to be destroyed. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord this day, when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, "Son, stand still over Gibeon and moon in the valley of Ahijon." So the sun stood still and so did the moon. So what was moving in its betrayal? Some people say it is the Bible, a book of science, and some preachers will say, no, it is not. Why isn't it? Science can't prove anything against the word of the Lord. So just to leave you with this, what was in movement? What sounds like what was in movement here? Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon over that valley of Ahijon. What was moving? Sounds like the sun was moving, and we know the moon was moving.
leave you with that tidbit. It was the only time that the Lord had heeded the voice of a man. What is your thinking on this? That the earth, being a ball, stopped rotating and everything just stopped moving at this purported rotation of the earth at 1,100 miles an hour. Well, we do know that the sun stood still, and so did the moon. There's a lot to talk about in this Joshua. Hopefully we have some insight from this study that Joshua was a very devoted person, faithful to the Lord. And then it can go on to hailstones and such that the Lord blasted the adversaries with. But it is time for this class to end. Thank you for your participation and for listening.